Hi, this is Linda, and this is Saturday evening, and this is Soul in the City. We invite you to just sit back and relax and kind of listen to the lively discussion I have with my great guest, Dr. Lissa Masters. She is an education and specialist and metaphysician. We're going to let Speak to My Heart by Donnie McClurkin finish playing as we are doing this to give us a moment just to breathe, because educating our children and knowing how to do that from a holistic experience and perspective is an important aspect of our children's education. We want to uplift them. We want them to be the best that they can be and to teach them to be their authentic self. So speak to my heart, Holy Spirit, and then we'll be right back with our guests. Listen. That was Speak to My Heart by Donnie McClurkin, and we're back with our guest, Dr. Lissa Masters, like I said, educator and metaphysician, and we have to let Spirit guide us even when we are educating and advocating for the education for our children. Welcome, Dr. Lissa Masters. Are you there?
Hi. Yes, Lissa, remember.
Lissa, I am so sorry. Lissa, you
it's
might
okay.
have to get me every now and then. I am so sorry,
yeah,
Lissa.
Yeah, okay. People get it wrong. But thank
yeah.
you. That was a nice little intro. And that music was very grounding. Liked it.
Good. I am so excited to have you on this show because, well, it just really corresponds with a lot of people. A lot of children are going back to school. And as parents, we want to ensure that the education process that we are, you know, going through with our children, that we're doing it in a holistic way that incorporates all of who they are. So tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I'm very passionate about education. I've worked in the field of education for over 25 years, and I raised two children who are actually both teachers. And I feel empty when I'm not around children. Children are just, I just need to be around children all the time. I feel they're teachers to me. They remind me of, you know, how to access my joy, my curiosity, and my creative nature. So I actually segued into holistic education from my years as a high school art teacher in a public school system in Connecticut. And my position at that time was working with at-risk youth in an alternative high school. And I also worked in the afternoon, and in the morning I worked with special ed children, special ed program. And I learned quickly that the students termed at-risk had far more pressing needs and problems that they were preoccupied with that got in the way of their concentration in a learning environment that emphasized core academics. So I was at that same time working with the high school special ed department, and I used to bring art activities to them that were sort of therapeutic and tied into their life skill lessons that they were learning in the classroom, such as, you know, how to eat healthy and how to get along with others, for example. So that experience led me to working with these at-risk students in a different way and helping them get more interested in art by making my directives more intrinsically motivating, like asking them to create a sculpture about how they felt about the world as opposed to emphasizing composition and art fundamentals. So that journey brought me into the field of art therapy. So now I work as a registered art therapist, holistic counselor within the education system. And as an artist, I write, sing, and paint, but it all ties into a service of helping others heal and grow and confidently use their unique creative potentialities. And my approach is basically all about educating holistically, which is mind, body, emotion, and spirit.
So awesome.
Yeah.
It is, because it does help heal, deliver, and empower, and that's kind of what we're about on this radio program and what I want to be, and I could see that really helping. You know, helping our children heal even places before they even get out as an adult and learning to do things that are healing to them early on.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So when do you feel it's a good time to introduce spirituality to our children?
Well, as parents and teachers of children, we mirror to them all the time, mostly through nonverbal communication. And I feel the more conscious we as adults are in understanding ourselves and dedicated to learning how we can best serve them, and the better off we all are. I like to think of all children belonging to every one of us. So spirituality I see as the education of the self. I don't see it in the same context of what people discuss as religion. So one, spirituality is our connection to all of life, with a capital L. We foster this connection by exhibiting unconditional love and care to the newborn and instilling values of respect, kindness, compassion, etc. in them, as we do in ourselves.
That's good. That is, because I think that is. You can foster in the love, love of self and love of others. I think that you really helped produce a really mature young child that grows into a mature adult that's tolerant and loving of other people.
Right, and as parents and teachers, we're, you know, when we're doing this from a heart space, it's totally different energetically. So, and we know that as metaphysicians.
Right. Yes, yes. And that's the best way to, I feel, incorporate it into the whole education. How can we incorporate, it's kind of like the same question, but a little bit different, spirituality per se in the educational process of our children? How do we do that?
Well, it's only recently that spirituality has been considered when teachers go through teacher training classes. And take classes such as child development. So traditionally, child development researchers had concentrated on six principal elements, which were physical, cognitive, language, social, emotional, and creative. So new child development textbooks now recognize the spiritual component of children as an integral component, and we need to nurture not only by our presence and awareness, but by connecting to the natural world within the classroom and home, and teaching that honors the whole child, their whole learning.
Mm-hmm. So that's really seeing the child as the totality of this whole person, and just, you know, 3 + 3 = 4, and, you know, you just see these things
right.
that you're supposed to be teaching. It's really seeing the whole aspects of who that child is.
Right,
so define,
beyond the traditional mentality
yeah.
of traditional education paradigm.
And I think that's good, because that is how that's bringing about a more, a better, more holistic, that I have all these parts of who I am, their dimensions of who I am. So define holistic education for us, or, you know, for me, for everybody else that may not really totally understand what that is.
Yeah, and it's a topic that's being discussed more and more, so more people are becoming educated. But primarily holistic education places an emphasis on connections and relationships, like relationships among ideas, among people, among phenomena. It is like whole child learning, honoring all the dimensions of the self, like we talked about, mind, body, emotions, and spirit. Of course, holistic education needs to come from teachers who themselves make a personal connection to holism. And there's a quote by Emerson that I love that says, "That which we are, we shall teach." I wrote about that in my thesis. I love Emerson. He's one of the one of the holistic pioneers.
Yes, and he is, and that is that who we are. We do teach, and we have who are better to teach it than the way that
mm-hmm.
we're going. And that's awesome. I like that, because I think that, you know, being a child is grown up, and then raising my children, it's nice to know that, you know, education is gearing towards seeing the totality of the whole child and bringing all aspects in. I don't think that was happening with my children, and I'm not sure I was evolved enough to even think like that. So I think it's a great thing that education
yeah.
is going that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think traditionally we haven't been aware of it, because in our times, holistic education is mostly under umbrellas such as Montessori or Steiner-Waldorf schools. And
right.
Until recently, those have all been privatized, and who can afford those, you know? But that's changing, so it's good.
It is good. That's for everyone.
And we're becoming
all
more educated about this now, because it's become more in discussion, and the options are becoming available to us. So more people are becoming open and understanding about what holistic education is. Yeah.
That's good. It's good, and we need it. And how can these aspects be incorporated into the education of our children? Just how can we incorporate these aspects?
Well, like I said, holistically, there have been many holistic pioneers along the way. But most notably in the 19th century in America, the American transcendents like Emerson, Alcott, and Book Thoreau, and
mm-hmm.
founders of progressive education like John Dewey and Francis Parker, they disagreed with the pedagogical system and placement at that time, and they supported the belief that education needs to cultivate the moral, the emotional, the physical, the psychological, and the spiritual aspects of a developing child. So the educational philosophies of Maria Montessori and Rudolf Steiner that we see today are examples of that have continued, and that's a positive thing. But our traditional public education system that became compulsory during the Industrial Revolution has been a system of conformity and focused on, you know, preparing our children to become part of a workforce or how to make a living. and mm-hmm. alternative education, which refers to a type of education outside the conventional standard, generally looks to a system of education that goes, you know, beyond that focus. So it's more about the whole person, how to live. So there's a organization called ARRO, which means mm-hmm. Alternative Education Resource Organization, and that defines alternative education as including terms such as democratic or free schools, where students have more decision-making power in what they will learn and how, and Waldorf or Steiner schools, Montessori schools, homeschooling, to mention a few, Emilio Regilio, Regalio schools, and a lot of different schools. But I'm a big supporter of public education, in that so many children go to public education and so many of our public education systems are in need of revamping. My children went through public education, and having taught in public schools, I saw a lot of what didn't work, and I experienced the frustration that teachers have with a lot of what's set in place as far as standardized testing and things like that. So I'm all about public education reform and embracing, you know, a more holistic approach. And the good thing about it is that some Montessori schools and some Rudolf Steiner Waldorf schools are now becoming charter schools that are under the umbrella of public education. So that's really great, because more people are becoming aware of whole child learning or learner-based education, where it wasn't available to others before. So the fact that, you know, there are some charter schools around the nation that are starting that either are Montessori or Waldorf or incorporate some of their principles is a really great thing, because I think it's creating a shift in the whole paradigm, you know.
That is so good, and it is needed that everybody has an equal chance to that type of education that really, you know, just uplifts right. the child and helps the child mm-hmm. see life in a better worldview about life. I think it helps them and not be, you know, in the really dogmatic kind of sense, taught what to do, say, and that kind of thing. It makes them, help them to be free thinkers, it sounds mm-hmm. like to me. So that's good.
Right. Yeah.
So for young and school-age children, what, as parents, should we look for to ensure that the school system is educating our child in a more holistic way? Which you've kind of gone over that, but still, it just helps out. Help me out, basically.
Well, first off, I would say that if you're a parent, teacher, or an advocate for children's rights, a universal right of children is that they receive the right, I put that in quotation marks, education. And this includes understanding life and ourselves, and not just education, which merely emphasizes, you know, secondary values and making us efficient and proficient, you know, in an ambitious sense.
Mm-hmm.
So education is not a matter of just training the mind. I would encourage, you know, parents and teachers to look at alternative options for education. I would encourage meeting teachers who will be spending a great amount of the day working with your child when you compute all the hours that a child is in school, typically. See if they're responding to the higher call of being teachers today, you know, as we herald in this new age. I feel that, you know, children today, they're being born. We've heard about indigo children. There's crystal and rainbow children who are very evolved, and I feel we're doing a disservice to them by not focusing on education that meets, you know, whole child needs, because mm-hmm. they don't fit in that box anymore that we've set up for, you know, traditional education, you know. Everybody get in the box, you know, and
right.
conform. So Krishnamurti, he's a spiritual teacher, and he has many books that are classic in holistic education, and one of his quotes that I love says, the purpose of education is not to produce mere scholars, technicians, and job hunters, but integrated men and women who are free of fear, for only between such human beings can there be enduring peace. It's one of my favorite.
And that is what we want to see our children be. Yes, that's great.
Right, because we see the state of the world, and that's a reflection of our beliefs, our thoughts, and you know, what we've learned. So education, I think, is key to changing, you know, those paradigms in our culture.
And just to hear an educator be excited about sharing this information for parents so that you can have a better, you know, view for your child, and to know that you're excited about, you know, helping people think about and have these different alternatives is really good. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
it is. and I'm glad you're that passionate about what you do, because that helps. And I, you know, really, it excites me, even though now at this point I'm more of a grandparent than a parent with children, but it excites me that educators are still passionate about what they do. So thank you.
Yeah.
We can't
expect
school.
When they get in touch themselves with their creativity and they're allowed to do that, then, you know, I mean, I experienced in the public school system so many teachers becoming frustrated and burnt out so easily because they just had to follow this rigid curriculum and protocol. And when we can expand on that, then it makes the whole teaching and learning process so much more vibrant and powerful. So
it does, yeah. And it just sounds like when you are allowed to be creative and passionate about what you do, when you're allowed to get out of the box, it so encourages and sets the way for the children to also be allowed to get out the box, per se.
Right, and then not honoring their uniqueness, you know, which is
yes,
what we tend not to do traditionally the way school has been set up.
Well, it's great. I think for all of us, it's a good thing for us to see ourselves holistic and not cookie cutter. Though we are all one, we each have our uniqueness that we bring about to that oneness to make it exciting, vibrant, and creative. So,
right, definitely.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. We can't expect the school system to be the only place that a child receives education. In the home setting, how can parents enhance their child's educational experience?
Well, I would say, first off, to give them your presence. And recently I attended a workshop, a Montessori workshop. I work part-time at a Montessori school. And the presentation was about observing the child. So that sticks in my mind, to observe your child, observe in a gentle and loving way, and then reflect on your observations and create an environment from that nurtures your child, that supports their natural goodness and potentialities. And then, you know, take them to museums and walks on nature, have family rituals. I think family rituals are so important.
Mm-hmm.
And celebrations, celebrating, you know, different life passages and transitions and skills and things that your children do. Practice meditation. You know, show your child how to, we can call it centering, or in Montessori there's a game called the silence game where we teach really young children, like preschoolers, to just how to sit and to go within, sort of focus on a bright light that's within themselves, and to just be silent. And it's very powerful for them to learn at such a young age to take that time and to go within, and in essence they're identifying or they're connecting with their innate goodness. So that is a really important thing, I feel. And, you know, going to a library, telling stories, allowing them to play and explore and discover. I've worked with so many parents who I give, like, after-school workshops with art that tends to be very messy. And the kids sometimes come in very, like, dressed up clothes and things, and they're afraid to get dirty, and it's like, oh my gosh, some kids are just not allowed to, like, just play in the mud, you know, make a mess and explore, you know, in nature. So I just encourage that. There tends to be sometimes so much emphasis on fashion, you know, that, you know, kids looking cute, and hey, that's good too, but, you know, create a balance where kids can, like, make a mess and, you know, get paint all over themselves, you know, or dig in the dirt, you know. And I think it's really important as parents and teachers to keep growing yourself, you know, to read and explore, you know, what's a good choice for my child as far as what I'm feeding them, not only nutritionally, but, you know, what are they watching on TV? What books are they reading? How are they spending their spare time? You know, that what are they digesting, you know, that I can somewhat assist with, you know. And parent groups are great. My son recently had, well, they have a two-year-old, my son and his wife, and they just moved to a new place in Massachusetts, and they were commenting the other day how, you know, they haven't met many people, and I suggested, you know, just go to the library, and I'm sure there's postings there about parent groups or things where you can just get together once in a while, not only just be with adults, but just share information and ideas and get feedback on, you know, what you're doing or, you know, what different ideas other people have about certain topics you're dealing with, you know.
That is good, and I think that's important, even to intermingle with like-minded parents so that, you know, what has worked for them, sometimes even parents that have older children that can kind of guide you through, you know, what has worked for them. So those are all good things. Okay.
Yeah, there's a thing on the web called meetup.com, which I recently found out about. And that's a great resource because you just go on to meetup.com and there's not only all sorts of things you can get involved in, but there's definitely, like, groups for parents and, you know, to get together in wherever you live, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, it's important to nurture yourself. I mean, kids need time away from their parents just as much as parents need time away from their kids to have a healthy, balanced relationship.
Yes, and I can say amen to
that. We need that.
Yeah, and that is true. And it helps everybody come together loving and peaceful when you have that time away, so it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a little of emotional sanity, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is.
That emotional sanity.
Yeah. There are a lot of parents who are homeschooling, and what tips can you give parents who are homeschooling their children to develop a more holistic curriculum?
Well, I would recommend going to the AERL website, which on that website you can gather all sorts of information and tools about how to enhance your homeschool program. There's quite a few homeschool networks that are online. But basically I would encourage, you know, as a homeschool teacher, I would encourage creative expression, like journaling and movement, spending time in nature, having the children develop altruism by helping people in their community, visiting older people in, like, a retirement home or something like that is really great. Supporting their interest areas by finding outside resources, whether they're, you know, children usually by age five basically know what their interest area is. You ask a child, like, what do you want to be when you grow up, and they're like 5 years old, they usually have a definite answer in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's the same answer that, you know, that they give along the years as they grow up. So encouraging whatever that interest is by finding outside, you know, resources and other parents maybe who can teach them sports or, you know, someone who's into science or whatever, or sewing or art, whatever, things like that are really important. And I think, you know, teaching centering or meditation is really great. And incorporating, you know, into your homeschool program not only the academics but life skills, like how to eat healthy, how to take care of your bodies, and all this, you know, all those things, life skills can all be woven into with science and math and language and history too. So that can all be, you know, incorporated into the learning experience.
I think that's good, and that does create a, like we said, a more holistic and taking care of the whole child. Do you have any suggestions on books and other items that can educate children and young children and school-age children about their spirituality and, you know, trying to incorporate that in the whole process of, for your child?
Yeah. Well, I recently attended the Arrow Conference, which was in Portland, Oregon this year. And I was very impressed with the work of a man called Lynn, L-Y-N-N Stoddard, S-T-O-D-D-A-R-D, who created a program and also a book of the same title. And it's called Educating for Human Greatness. And the foundation of his curriculum is to incorporate seven principles, and they all begin with I. I wrote them down. Identity, inquiry, interaction, initiative, imagination, intuition, and integrity. And he just gave a very inspiring talk, and I highly recommend this book because it's like a practical guide for, you know, instituting holistic principles that can be used in an educational setting. By weaving in, you know, the math and sciences and those other academics. Also, any books by Krishnamurti, Parker Palmer, books by Rudolf Steiner and Maria Montessori. There's a man called Ron Miller who's written many books. He's sort of a leader in contemporary discourse on holistic education. He's written many books about holistic education, and he used to be very involved with Arrow, so I recommend any of his books. And also, you know, looking at the Arrow, A-E-R-O website, it's really great. Also, a book that I found recently when I was doing some research, I don't think it's available in print anymore, but I think you can get it on Amazon. It's a book called Curriculum of Love, and it's by a woman called Morgan Dalio, D-A-L-E-O. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a book that parents can use, or teachers, or people who work with children, and it's how to cultivate spiritual, you know, children's spiritual nature into their learning. So it has some really great practical ideas in it, and it's easy to read. I haven't found a lot of books along that line as far as how to incorporate, you know, spiritual elements, but there is a book called Honoring the Light of the Child. It was written by a Montessori teacher, and her name is Sonny McFarlane. And that is a great book too. Some Montessori schools use it. It's called, it has all these activities in it to nurture like peaceful living skills in young children. And she uses a concept where she calls it your love light. Mm-hmm. And basically the curriculum that's for preschoolers, but it's about introducing your love light, which she uses as she puts like a yellow circle patch of felt on her chest, and she talks to the kids about how your love light is inside of you and it shines, and it's a way of introducing spiritual, you know, you're coming in connection with your spirituality and your spiritual connection and this essence of love that we all are. So, and she gives some practical activities about peacemaking, you know, encouraging peacemaking skills and conflict resolution and things, all with preschoolers. So that has some great insight in that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like great resources, and I did write them down if anybody, but you can listen to the program more than one time if you missed any of them, but I did write them down, and if you message me, I will make them available also on my message board. Is there anything else you would like to comment on or talk about a little bit more? I think what you've brought to light for me, you know, my children are grown, and I have one that is grown and one that college age, but I wished I would have had known a little bit more about this, and I think that it is great for to open up the minds of parents so that you're setting a tone that we're demanding that even in whatever school system and that you see your child as a whole person and you're making sure that they're being educated as such. Whether that's available for you or not, there are things we can do as parents to make sure that your all aspects of your child is being educated. So do you have any other comments for us?
Well, I just encourage everyone to get involved in, you know, in education in your community, because basically, you know, educating our children defines our culture. So I like to, you know, as I said, I like to think of all children as everyone's children and
mm-hmm.
to help make changes in the paradigms that need to be shifted. So I think recently the Occupy movement is still very powerful because it's now branched off into these affinity groups. So there's like, you know, Occupy this, Occupy that, you know, Occupy and create necessary changes to the old systems that no longer serve humanity. So Occupy education is something that is moving along, and it's something that we can all be a part of. And it's all about, you know, making the right choices that that affect everyone else in our educational systems. And I think, you know, what we decide in our choices in education basically affect, you know, how we're going to build our social structures and how we will, you know, how we will live with each other on the planet and other living things. It's, you know, it's education from the whole child encompasses all of that. So I do want to mention that I am writing a book. It'll be out in December, which is my contribution to the process and what we talked about today. It's actually a curriculum of self-discovery for art therapists and professional counselors to use in schools. And I'm basically targeting the public school education just because I'm passionate about that. But I think schools that embrace holistic philosophy will use it first. But it's basically a curriculum using the expressive arts and the creative process to encourage self-awareness. And the children go through this curriculum. It goes through the four dimensions of self, mind, body, spirit, emotions, and through different activities, access information, and see how they're making choices in their life, you know. Because we all want to make choices in our life to create a masterpiece.
Right. The right choices, and because our choices reflect the life that we're living at present, so we do want to make great choices and to teach our children to make good choices. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
That's why it's about art and life. So I won't give the title away yet, but it's related to both of those things.
We're excited about it when it comes out, so you'll have to come back and tell us about the book when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. I will.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay, good, because it's always open invitation. You also facilitate our IMM group. It's on Facebook, and it's for metaphysical ministers of UMM. Tell us a little bit, because you're just a busy all-around Renaissance woman. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I started that by accident, but I don't say accident because, you know, there's no such thing as accidents,
mm-hmm.
but I guess divine intervention. So being new to Facebook and the computer, actually, until maybe a year ago, year and a half ago, when I was more than halfway through my book, I discovered quickly that I'd have to learn how to do the computer and really get into marketing on the computer and making a presence known on the computer. So I had to learn quickly. And when I joined Facebook, which is only like a little over a year ago, I guess the group started, I decided, okay, I'll join Facebook, but I'll just join and have, you know, my family, like nieces and nephews, and then I'll add all these IMM people that I would love to, like, establish a more closer relationship with. So I did that, and trying to organize it for myself, I put everybody in the IMM group that I was adding as friends under one group umbrella and named it IMM group or whatever I did back in the day there. And I didn't realize I had started a group and it was administering a group until it dawned on me after weeks and people kept thanking me. Why do they keep thanking me? And then another group popped up on my group setting. I'm like, oh, I remember that person invited me to the group, and now it's listed under my groups. And then when I went in there, I realized that they were their administrator, and then it kind of dawned on me. I put two and two together. But anyway, it's been a great thing. I feel a lot of people are benefiting from it. And it's just a great way to network and get to know people on a, you know, a closer way. I was involved with other spiritual networks online for a bit, and there just seemed to be so much emphasis on marketing, so I really was wanting to develop, you know, a closer relationship with some of the people that were involved in this program, which I felt benefited me in such an amazing way, and are such powerful teachings that Dr. Masters, you know, has given us. So it was a way of, like, keeping that in the forefront and, you know, helping people get together, you know, being that we're all masters, come together, you know, with that focal point. So.
And I am appreciative because that's how I met you.
Right.
And I'm so glad. And
yeah,
actually, it's how I met a few people on there, and they have been guests. And we have shared great information. I feel like it's part of my classroom because I learned so much from everybody that has participated in my program. I am really almost indebted because it's been like a personal classroom for me. And I've gotten comments from some of the listeners that it has been. And it's I want to uplift the members of UMM and University of Sedona because I feel that we're world changers and I want people to know about us and that this university has produced some very dynamic people, including yourself, and we're doing good things. So I want it to be like a place to uplift, you know, some of the things that we're doing.
Right.
So, and you're doing the same thing by allowing us to network and meet each other in that kind of way. So, you know, and I know I've probably said it and you've heard it on the, or saw it written on Facebook, we appreciate what you did. And even though it might have been a mistake, I really feel like it was a divine connection.
Yeah, it was a divine connection. So, you know, it's sort of evolving on its own. But, you know, my intention is to keep that foundation that, you know, was originally my intention, to just that it's, you know, it's a way to support and network with people who are on the same path, who have made that commitment to IMM to give service in that way. So to never forget that, because that's in the forefront of all everything I do. I mean, when people ask me what I do, usually education comes out of my mouth first, because I weave my work as an art therapist into education, and as a painter, and as a singer and as a, you know, writer, I do it from an inspirational point of view with the intention of assisting other people. So it's all minister work, you know. So
It is.
Our ministry takes on different flavors, but it's the foundation of it all, you know.
It is. Well, Dr. Masters, I am so honored that you decided to take me up on this, and you have really enlightened us. Thank you so much. Thank you for what you do, because you educate our children. I think that a lot of time educators, especially for our children, don't get the praise that they deserve. I thank you for educating our children and the time and the years you put in that, and that you're helping educate educators on how to educate our children. I thank you for that.
Oh, thank you, and I appreciate all that you do. And, you know, as an educator, you know, again, yeah, in the profession of education, that's true, but we're all educators, and you know that mm-hmm. all children are teachers, too. So I learned just as much. You know, I'm grateful for all the students I've had along the way and mm-hmm. more that will come into my path because, you know, they teach me just as much. And, you know, and I think that's an important key to metaphysics is that we're all teachers and, you know, our presence and our choices, we're always mirroring to others. So just becoming conscious and becoming more aware, know thyself, I remember, that always sticks in my mind, know thyself by Socrates, is key to our evolution.
It is. It's imperative. And, well, thank you so much. You have shared so much with us. I do hope you will, when you get the book and you are ready to talk about that, remember me. You just have to let me know. It's an open invitation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah, it is always open. Well, this is Soul in the City. I've had a great conversation. I hope you hit the archives and listen to this. You can listen again if you wanted to get some of the resources. But like I said, I did write the resources down. If you didn't get them and you just want to message me about those resources, I will make those available. I want to thank our guest, who was dynamic and exciting and great the way she is, just like she is. So this is Soul in the City, where we inspire to go higher and higher in the spirit. Have a blessed day, and educate your children holistically. Good night, good evening. Thank you so much. Goodbye.